Then this one here's got to be turned on.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be back again tonight. And yes, there's been, like he says, you could spend many, many hours telling things that took place, and especially during the Cold War time, and some of the harrowing experiences. I remember one time going into East Germany, we were taken in. I had a bunch of Bible study books for an evangelist. And we had, it was probably two-thirds of a suitcase that would fill, all these different books, you know, and everything. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, there's no way in the world we can smuggle this stuff in, you know. We got, there's way too much stuff. And we had a rental car. And, you know, where are you going to put it on a rental car? You know, you have to. And so finally, I told my wife, I says, you know, I just feel led to, let's just stack this stuff all up on the back seat. Right in the open. I said, let's just stack it all up there and we'll put our luggage beside it. And let's just pray and say, God, you got to do something with it. So we come up to the border, and of course going into East Germany was an extremely difficult border crossing. And it's because they had Russian guards and East German guards. And so they were trying to, you know, show who was a little more macho than the other guy, you know. And so it was always a tough border to go across. And they didn't just stop you once. They had multiple stops, and they changed it because people used to take cars, and when they had just one place to stop, people would take a car and run like mad and go right straight through. And so they had to zigzag it through and put up barricades and all kinds of stuff. But anyhow, we stopped, and the first place, of course, they take your passports, and then ask you some questions, and who you're going to see and who you're going to visit and all that. And I was kind of fortunate because my family on my mom's side came out of what used to be East Germany. And so that was an area, I could say, well, we had family. We were always trying to look, try to find family. Well, we were finding family, but it wasn't immediate family. It was God's family that we were going to visit. But anyway, and so then they took us to the next stop. And you get there, and they'd say, okay, take your luggage out. Put your luggage out here on this metal stand there. And they said, open it up. And of course, you open it up, and they're going through your luggage. And then we had two other guys started looking at the vehicle. And I'm watching them there, you know, and they says, open the hood, you know. And so you reach under, you pop the hood, and it's like you're going to sneak somebody in there, you know, these dinky little cars you rent, you know. And there's no room to even put a sheet of paper in there, let alone anything else. And so they're checking there, and then all of a sudden I notice one of the guys is, I don't know, he's reaching up under the dash, and he's reaching under the seat, and then he opens up the back door. And I thought, okay, this ought to be interesting because here's all that literature lined up there. And he's down there and he's looking, he's reaching under the seat, and all of a sudden he starts punching the seat. And here's these books going. And he's down there looking underneath, and he's punching the seat. And I kept thinking, oh no, one of these is going to bounce off, hit him in the head. And then he's going to be all excited about what's there. And all of a sudden he stops and he gets up. And we're looking, you know, and, you know, okay. Well, they put your luggage back in, and we go down, and we stop at the next stop. And they come out, and they have more questions for you, you know, and just all kinds of stuff they kept asking you. And so a lot of times we'd just kind of make up something or whatever, you know, and just to keep them talking, or else we'd ask them a question, or, you know, just to try to keep things calm. And, of course, all the while your heart's going, you know, you're not calm. You know, now I can sit and talk about it. But at that time, I mean, it was very nerve-wracking. And here you got, there's a machine gun tower here. Here's a machine gun tower here. Everybody walking around through there has got AK-47s, and they are loaded. They're not there with blanks. They're ready. And there was no, and you couldn't talk to a lot of these guards unless they addressed you. If you talked to them, they immediately, it was problems. And so finally we get through all this stuff, and it's 2 hours now of time. And we finally come to the last stop, and out comes the big cheese with all the scrambled eggs on his, you know, hat and everything, and he's got our passports. And I thought, here he's coming. He comes walking out there, and he reaches down with the passports. I grab a hold of them. He's got a hold of the other end. And then he does this. He turns and he stares right at the books on the back seat. And my heart stopped. I thought, oh, no. Here we are all the way through here. And he's going to stop and say, what's this stuff? And he said, and it seemed like 5 minutes. But it was probably only about 10 seconds, if that. But he's holding on, and I'm holding on because I don't want to let go of those passports. And finally, he backs up and he goes, Auf Wiedersehen. And off we go. And I know we're looking at this, and I asked my wife, do you see those books? And yep, we saw those books, but God got them through. And I'll tell you, we had all kinds of things that would happen that, you know, only God could do. And he wanted to get help to those people. And so we thank God for that. But anyway, we appreciate so much your prayers. We appreciate your financial help. Because what you saw this morning in the presentation, you helped put the Word of God into those hands of those people. And God willing, we're going to do it again. We've got a container of Scripture that we just shipped that just arrived in Romania. On that, there were 13,000 Bibles. And I got a call from the missionary over there, and he says, they're gone. He said, I don't know. He said, how people found out those were coming. But he said, I could have handled five times that many. He said, I got calls from pastors all over the country. He said, I had one who is has a ministry to the prisons. And he says he wants to put a Bible in every cell in the prisons. And he called me, he said, I want 100 cases of Bibles. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't have 100 cases of Bibles. But he said, I'll give you what I can out of, once I meet the other needs of the churches here. And so be praying about that. I told him, I says, contact the Bible publishers again. And I says, get them printing. I said, we'll ship you more. We'll ship over everything you can use. We got a container that's going within the next month. It's going to be going to Bulgaria. That'll be filled with about 395,000 John and Romans. And they're going to be used by a couple of different missionaries there. They've been taking their church and going from village to village, door to door, with John and Romans, and just trying to get a portion of the Word of God into every single home in that country. And so it's something we're trying to assist them with. We've helped them canvass several major cities already over there, but they want to keep working. And then be praying, as I mentioned this morning, we're going to be in Prague and in back in Romania in Brasov this coming fall, and pray that God would bless in a special way. Pray that He touches hearts, prepares hearts, opens hearts, so that when we get there, they're receptive and we'll take the Scriptures and come to the meeting, and that we'll see people get saved. And I tell you, it's well worth it. So please pray with us along that line. All right, I'd like to have you turn this evening to Jeremiah chapter 33. Familiar portion of Scripture here, but I want to look at Jeremiah 33, and let's just read the first three verses. And then we'll speak for a little while on this portion of Scripture. It says in Jeremiah 33, starting in verse 1, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can once again open the book of books. And Lord, as we do, I pray that you'd quiet our spirit for a few moments before thee. And Lord, that we'd allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and to minister to our hearts today. And Lord, that we might be encouraged by thy Word, that we might be encouraged to call upon you and to pray and to bring our petitions to you. And Lord, we just thank you. We'll praise you for all that you do in each and every life here. And Lord, I pray you'd be with each one. Father, as they go their way, many will leave here and head to other parts of the country. Father, be with them and bless them, bless their families in a special way. Keep them all as close to you. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, do you ever think about this? What does God want you to do when you get discouraged? You know, what does God want you to do when you get downhearted or where hard times hit you? What does God want you to do when you lose your job? All of a sudden there's a cutback and the finances just aren't there. What does God want you to do when you go to the doctor and you're just going for a routine checkup and he comes out and he says, you better sit down, we've got to talk. What do you do when you get home late at night and you're in bed and you're asleep and all of a sudden the telephone's ringing and you get up and you answer the phone and it's the hospital calling and they say, you better get down here, your mother-in-law is not doing well and you better come quick. What do you do when you get there and it's too late, you're already gone and you need to contact siblings and share with them the news of their mother has just passed away? And what do you do when things become difficult and hard? What does God want you to do? He says, call. That's what he says. He says, call. We've got his number. You've got it. You know, it's not hard. It's as easy as dialing 911, Heavenly Father. He says, call me, get a hold of me. You know, an amazing thing is you call God and you call him and you're never going to get a busy signal. You know, you call God and you're never going to hear an answering machine come on and say, well, make your selection here and leave a message and he'll get back with you. You call God and you're never going to hear push one for English, push two for Spanish, push three, because God knows every language. You call God and you're not going to find, well, oh, he just stepped out, can you call back later? You call God and when he's got you on the line, you're not going to have a call waiting service come and he say, oh, just a minute, I got a more important call, come in. It's this, you call God and you got his attention. He hears you. He listens. And so he says, listen, I want you to call. You know, it says, I mentioned earlier about this morning about Job 22 and verse 21, where it says, acquaint now thou thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. He says, get to know God. He says, I want you to call him. You know, isn't it a neat thing when your kids, you know, those of us that have gotten more mature and like Joshua now, we got four grandkids, you know, with him. But anyhow, well, it's neat when all of a sudden the phone rings at home or my cell phone rings and it's my granddaughter or my grandson or my son calling. It's a neat thing to have them call. You know why? Because you want to talk to them. You want to commune with them. Listen, our God wants you to call him. He wants to talk to you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to hear your heart poured out to him. He wants you to do that. He's longing for that. And all too often, we just kind of put it on the back shelf. It's usually the very last resort is we'll pray. I mean, we try to do, you know, especially guys, we try to manipulate everything there is. You know, we want to work it out. You know, we got that macho thing. You know, and if there's a problem here, we're gonna fight our way through it. And it gets down to the very last thing, we'll say, well, I guess we got to pray about it. You know, hey, listen, he says, call. He says, get a hold of me. He says, just call me. You know, it says in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him. Paul said, listen, I want to get to know him. But then Paul went on and said this, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You know, I wish you could just say that the Christian life, when you get saved, is going to be just a bed of roses from then on. You know, wouldn't that be neat? Someday it will be on the other side. But while we're down here, it's not. Down here, there's going to be some sufferings. There's going to be challenges. I remember hearing a story of a young boy and the dad in the funeral home. And they were there because there was an untimely death of the mother of his wife. Just a young lady died. And here, it was on the day of visitation, and everybody had pretty much left the funeral home, and the dad was just sitting there, and his little four-year-old boy beside him, and the funeral director began to turn down the lights now, and most everyone was gone, and the little boy, he looked at his daddy, and he says, Daddy, he says, take my hand. He said, it's dark in here, and I'm afraid. And so the dad took his hand and put his arm around him, and it didn't take long, and all of a sudden, there was the steady breathing of the little boy as he fell asleep. And then the father looked up to heaven and he said, Daddy, take my hand.
it's dark in here, and I'm afraid. Oh, listen, he's looking for that. When your heart aches, he's looking for you to bring it to him. When you've got joys, he's looking for you to bring it to him. Oh, listen, he says, call. He says, call on me. You know, he says over there in Matthew 28, and he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, I'm there all the time. He said, I'm not just there in the mountaintops. He said, I'm there for you when you're in the valleys. He said, I'm there at all times. I'm ready. He says, you just call. He says, call. He says, I'm there. He says, I'm ready. When you think of, when we just read our scripture here, and you think of Jeremiah. Where's Jeremiah at this time? He says, he was in prison. I mean, this wasn't a real great time for him, you know. He was in a situation here that wasn't too good. It said he was shut up in a court of the prison. And here he is in the midst of that. I mean, that was a hard time for Jeremiah in his life. And God says, I want you to call. He said, I want you to get a hold of me. He says, and so whatever the situation that we're in, he says, I want you to call unto me. Look it over in Hebrews once, in Hebrews chapter 11, a familiar scripture to you down in verse number 6. And it says here in Hebrews 11, 6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, that's important. But then he goes on. He says, there's more to that verse. He says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, we've got to understand that our God is a rewarder of our faith. And when we come to him by faith, and we pray, and we call on him, and we get a hold of him, we know he's going to answer. He says, listen, he says, call. He said, I'm a rewarder. And so we find it says in Matthew 21:22, it says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, he says, ye shall receive. In James 5:16, he says, pray one for another. You know, I think so many times what happens in our prayer lives is we pull out a shopping list. You know? And he says, listen, he said, if we whatsoever we shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. But then there's a flip side to that, found over in James chapter 4, where he says, and ye pray, and ye ask, and ye have not. He says, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. He says, listen, he says, if you want to pray for something, he says, go to James 5:16, start praying one for another. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to pray one for another. And then look at Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, listen, God says, I want you to pray one for another. And he said, I want you to pray for souls to be saved. He says, those are two number one prayer requests. He says, get them high on your list. You know, I think a lot of times we have our prayer requests, but God has a couple. In the Old Testament, he says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's one of God's requests. Then you get over there in the book of Luke, and he says, pray for laborers. So God says, listen, I got two things I want you to pray for. He says, I want you to be praying for Israel. And he says, and then pray for laborers. So we can reach out and reach folks. So here we have our God saying to us, listen, he said, I want you to call. Then he says, call who? Look down in verse 3 there of our back in our text in chapter 33 of Jeremiah. He says, unto me. God says, I want you to call unto me. Now look at in verse number 1. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. He says, hear the Lord. He's the one I want you to call unto. Look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord. He says, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. He says, listen, I want you to know who you're calling. He said, when you talk to God Almighty, you're talking to the supreme being. You're talking to God. You're talking to the Creator. He's the one back in Genesis chapter 1 where it says, and God said, boom, there it was. And God said, and there was the land. And God said, there was the waters. And God said, and there was all the firmaments, everything. He spoke them into existence. He said, that is who you are speaking to. You know, we've got in so many places in our society, they've gotten so irreverent. It's like the big man upstairs and talk to the big boy and talk to all that. It's just trash. Amen. We're talking to a holy God. He said, be ye holy, for I the Lord your God am holy. He said, you're talking to the Creator. He said, I established this earth. He says, I established the foundation of it. He says, I keep it. He said, I formed it. You know, man down here keeps thinking he's going to save everything. And you know, you can save the planet. Go ahead. Someday you're going to give it to him. You know what he's going to say? Burn it. That's what he's going to say. And he's going to do it all over again the way he wants it. Because we've already got it all messed up down here. But anyhow, he says, listen, he said, I'm the Creator. He said, I put this together. He said, you're talking to me. He says, calling to me. And look at in Psalms 89, verse 11, it says this, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. He says, it belongs to him. He made it. You know, the devil can't make one flower. You know, the devil, he's down here, and he's the god of this world, it says, the world system, but he's not the god of the earth. You know, God made the earth. God established the earth. God holds it together. He's the one that keeps it going. You know, man's always looking for the missing link. You know, they always are. You ever notice that? They're always trying to find the missing link. You know, they always just keep missing it, you know. All they got to do is get into the book, and in the blood and the blessed hope. And you find your answers there. You know, it says in Malachi 3:6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. He says, I don't change. He says over in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, he's the same, always. He said, listen, he said, when you call, he says, you're calling unto me. He says, you're calling unto the Lord. He says, reach me. Then he goes on. Let's go back here and see the next phrase that it says in this, in verse number 3. He says, and I will. You know, I like that. He doesn't say, I might. I'll think about it. I could. He says, and I will. You know, over in Psalms 138, verse 2, it says this. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God says, I've magnified this word above my name. That's an amazing statement. Why is that so important? Because a man is only as good as his word. That's all the better a guy is. God said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He says it's the name of Jesus Christ. And yet he said, listen, where do you learn about the name of Jesus Christ? Through the Word of God. That's where you find out about him. And he says, listen, I hold my word, he says, above my name. And he says, and I will. When you call unto him, he says, listen, I hear you, I listen, and I will. Will what? He says, I'll answer thee. Now, when he answers you, he may not answer you the way you think you ought to be answered. Yeah, I've had a lot of prayers down through the years where I thought a specific thing, that this is what I was sure that God would have for me, and God didn't answer it that way. And at the time, I got the poochy lip. You know, just like everybody else does. You know, I didn't get my way, but I found out later God had something better. He did. He had something, a whole different idea, a whole different thing in mind. But he said, just be patient. Just wait. Now I'll show you what to do. But listen, he will answer. He comes through. He answers our prayers. He hears us and he listens. And then he says, listen, and I'll show thee great and mighty things. He said, I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, I think of back in the area of the country where I was raised. I'm a farm boy out in a little town called Amro, and out where we're from there, there's about a 1 square mile area, and it's got a little farmsteads that were around that whole area there. And the amazing thing is, just about every household around that whole area there, around 20 different homes, somebody had gotten saved in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And I looked at that and I thought, man, this is an amazing thing that we're so privileged and blessed to have, see all these people saved, but yet you go to the east and to the west and the north and the south, and we didn't see that. And I often wondered, why did that take place? Well, about 10 years ago, we found out. My brother Ken, who works in our ministry, was out in Phoenix, Arizona. He just had a meeting in a church out there, and he was finished, and he was back at the door shaking hands with people as they were leaving, and all of a sudden behind him, there was a gentleman come up, and he says, "How is Henry and George and Alwyn and Elmer?" And my brother Ken stopped, and he turned around, he looked at the guy, and he said, "That's my dad and my uncles." He said, "Who are you?" He says, "Did you remember a man in your neighborhood years ago named George Daggett?" And Ken says, "Well, yeah, when I was a little boy, we crossed from my grandfather there. The Daggetts used to live there." And he says, "Yeah, we remember. He moved away back in the late 50s, early 60s, somewhere around there. And this fellow was George Daggett's nephew." And he said, "My Uncle George," he said, "would get up in the morning, he'd have his Bible time together." And he said, "And then he'd go out and sit on the porch." And he said, "He'd begin to call by name every single family in that square block." He said he began up on Highway 21 and he prayed for the Kings, and that's where Randy King gets saved. He prayed for the Coateses and the Hesses and the Sturtzes and the Callises and the Bartosics and the Carpenters and went around and prayed for every single home. And he said he did that, he says, the years that he was there. And then he said when he moved away, he said he always remembered and prayed for those families. He never saw any fruit from it. He went and died, but all of a sudden in 1964, the first one in the area gets saved, my older brother Ken. 1969, the second one gets saved, Randy King. By 1972, we find I get saved, my brother Bob gets saved, my dad gets saved, my mom gets saved, our neighbor Steve Carpenter gets saved, he leads his dad to the Lord. We find out one of the Bartosik boys gets saved, he becomes a Baptist preacher. You go around and find out one of the Roycrafts got saved, and on within the next, and just like that, all these people were getting saved. Why? Because a man brought their names before God. You know, we look at our country and say, why don't we see more people get saved? I don't think we bring the names up like we should. Oh, listen, we got to just get serious about it. It's a serious thing. God wants us to call Him. God wants us to bring these out and bring them before Him. He wants us to bring these names out and to say, oh, God, we want to see You do something great. And oh, listen, we need to just call unto Him, call out to Him. And he goes on here, and we find that as we begin to call out to our God, He wants us to believe. You know, it says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, He says, continue in prayer, now watch this, and watch. He says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4 and verse 2. He says, I want you, when you're praying in faith, to be looking for answers. God says, I want you to watch. He says, something's going to happen. He says, I want you by faith. He says, you're asking me to do something. He said, I want you to believe that I'm going to do something, and you watch for something to take place. He says, you anticipate, you believe, you look for it, you know He's going to come through. And He does. And like I say, it may not be the way you want it answered, but you're going to find out His way is best. He'll do what's right. He may answer you many times just the way you ask. But oh, listen, you got to come to Him, you got to talk to Him. You know, He says, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. You know, back in the book of Joshua, we find in the first part of the book of Joshua where now it's time for the people of Israel to make another crossing of water. They're getting ready now. They've got to go into the land of Canaan, and they've got to cross now the Jordan River. And it says during that time of the season, if you look, it says that the Jordan River overflows its banks during that time. So it was a time where the water was quite wide there. Now, Joshua told his captains, he said, go and begin to prepare the people. He says, get them ready.
He says, you tell the priests to get ready. And he says, when I give the command, they're going to walk right down into the Jordan River. And we're going to see the Jordan River parted. Now, think about this. This is the new generation of Israelites. The previous generation that went through the Red Sea, they disobeyed God then. And God said, you're going to die. And they all died. Now, it's their kids. They heard about the crossing of the Red Sea. 40 years had come and gone now. They'd heard these blessings. They heard what God did, but now it was a new generation. Now it was time for this group of Israelites to exercise their faith as God told them to go forward. And so they didn't know just what was going to take place. All they knew is Joshua said, get ready. Get the troops ready. Get prepared. Get the priests. Get the ark out in front of us. And he said, when I give the command, you're going to go. And then all of a sudden, it's the time to go forth. And he says, now, priests, head out into the Jordan River. They start walking down in. They start taking a step. Boom. The water goes out. They take another step. Boom. The water goes out. They take another step. Boom. The water goes out. They walk right out into the middle of that river. And God opens it up. And it's dry land. Amen. And these folks walking across through there, exercising their faith. Now, I'm sure you've heard about a lot of the great revivals that took place, the Welsh revivals and the England revivals, the New England revivals here in our country. I'm sure you've read about the Billy Sunday revivals that took place, and D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and B.R. Lakin. And you talk about all these men where they filled sawdust trails with people coming forward to get saved. And I thank God for all those tremendous revivals. I thank God for all that took place with all those men of God through the years. But listen, that was their generation. That was their time. This is our generation. This is our time. And it's time for us to believe and trust our God and to ask our God to do something great in our time so we can see revival in our day and see people saved and see people fill our churches and see people come forward and see them trust Christ. Amen. It's our time. Amen. Oh, listen, every generation needs to be reached. And it's time that we say, God, you're a great God. You haven't changed. You're the same God that Jeremiah had. You're the same God Joshua had. You're the same God Moses had. You're the same God Billy Sunday had. You're the same God D.L. Moody had. You're the same God today as you were then. You said you changed not. God, we're going to ask you to do something big. We're going to ask you to start shaking the foundations of our cities. And God, that you start stirring up our preachers, stirring up our churches, and set them on fire, oh God, that we can start seeing souls saved and see things go forward for the cause of Christ. And I tell you, if we start getting busy and getting serious with God, I think we'd start seeing some amazing things happen. He's still a God of miracles. He loves to show himself strong in behalf of those who will exercise the faith to believe that he will come through. And let's start asking him, saying, God, just shake this area with the gospel. Lord, just stir things up. Reach souls. Convict hearts. God, send a wave of Holy Spirit conviction over the hearts of a people here. God, that they just be burdened under their sin and wanting to be set free from it and be looking for an answer. So we could take the gospel and say, here's how to be set free. And I'll tell you, when we start doing that, God comes through. He does. But it's up to us. Are you going to call? The line's open all the time. Are you going to call? You don't have to worry about a cell tower not being in line and you losing your, you know. You get a call, he'll hear you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for these precious people. And Father, we thank you for the promises that we have in your blessed book. Lord, that you want us to call you, knowing that you hear and knowing that you'll answer. And Father, you show us great and mighty things. Lord, I pray that you might help us just to have
the faith to believe that you will come through. God, strengthen us, encourage our faith, Lord. And no matter what the trial is, no matter what the testing, whatever it is, God, help us to, number one, to call you and to get a hold of you. Lord, I pray now while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe tonight, dear Christian, God stirred your heart tonight about challenging you to strengthen your faith. Maybe you haven't been talking to the Lord like you need to. And the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart tonight and said, oh, listen, would you set aside some time each day just to give him a call? Listen, make some commitments. Get a hold of him and say, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do that. Maybe he's touched your heart to begin to pray more for your country. Pray more for one another. Pray for someone you know is lost. Oh, listen. Let's let tonight become a new time where we want to begin to call out to our Lord and get to know him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these precious people that are here. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we might renew our commitment of prayer to you. And Lord, that we'd just be willing to call out to you. And Lord, just get a hold of the Creator, knowing that you love us, knowing that you care for us, knowing that you'll answer. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor, would you come? Jesus, my Lord.